You may have heard that a psychedelic ceremony provides healing and epic transformation like a decade's worth of talk therapy. What you may not have heard is that it's not the ceremony itself that radically changes your life. It's the integration of the experience. Psychedelic integration leverages the breakthroughs, insights, and clarity from ceremony towards deep healing, supreme ownership of your authentic self, and an opportunity to not just create the reality of your dreams and live on purpose, but to help others do the same. I'm Cherie Gaudissi, your rebel psychedelic therapist, a pioneering integration coach, and a consciousness activator. I'm also a woman with humble roots that completely transformed her life through psychedelic integration. I help people like us create our most epic and psyched lifestyle and a better world through integrating plant medicine and psychedelic experiences. Tune into today's episode to turn your day into an epic ceremony. This is the Psyched Soul Podcast. Welcome, everyone. This is part two of how to interpret your psychedelic journey. You can find the first part in the previous episode, in which I shared about the three foundations of interpreting psychedelic journeys. And then I jumped right into how to begin discovering themes and making meaning out of your insights. So I just want to continue down that path. An additional way of making meaning out of your trip can be found in examining the place in which your trip took place, pun intended. Of course, either the physical location or the ceremony took place, you know, oftentimes we can receive a lot of information through the land where the ceremony takes place, the nature that is there, that particular ecosystem. And of course, in the journey itself, where did the insight exist? What place? Potentially what culture, what country, of course. So I would also just examine the location of the insight, again, based on the different vantage points as we discussed in episode one. We already talked in the previous episode about sound. I would also examine just music in general. What music was playing in the ceremony? What do you recall the music moved in you? Were you connecting with it? Were you not connecting with it? Was it taking you on a journey, or was it maybe even just annoying you and you really wanted to tune out the channel on that music, right? And oftentimes that in itself is an insight. Are we able to accept our environment in the journey as it is? Are we able to fully let go of control? Or do we find a need to control different aspects of our environment, and especially, again, sounds and music? Also, silence itself is a beautiful insight. Remember how we talked about looking at the void or looking at the quote-unquote nothing as such a powerful insight? So in the same way that I would approach that, I would also look at silence. Can you coexist with silence, or do you have any needs from the silence? Is the silent too silent for you? Is it too quiet? I would also look at the vibe of the experience, meaning what was the general energy of the trip? Maybe just energies in general. Were there energies coming and going out of the journey? Of course, when we say energy, it could be a sensation, a physical sensation, or a visual perception, right? Sometimes we can literally see energy when we are in that heightened state of awareness. We can see energies, we can feel energies. We are a lot more sensitive to energies in general. I want to bring an example about an experience that is not uncommon, especially with people who are either very new to the medicine and or people that have suffered direct trauma and or people that are also suffering from addiction. So what can be a common experience for this particular demographic of people can be that the medicine feels, or the body feels, like it's shutting down. Literally, the body is in a type of a state of a blackout. And sometimes that can be interpreted as I wasn't feeling the medicine, My body could not tolerate the medicine. They just feel like the body begins to shut down. And that can look like laying in the fetal position, resisting, maybe vomiting uncontrollably, maybe a rapid heart rate, maybe a loss of consciousness. And sometimes people decide that the medicine is not right for them. They feel like their body is rejecting the medicine and they feel disappointed in the experience. If they're suffering from addiction, they may feel extremely disappointed that because they may feel that their only hope for recovery is gone. And one way to interpret an experience when, again, there is a blackout or a shutting down is that it could be that these people did not have really useful internal navigation and self-regulation tools to be able to meet the medicine. So I'm talking about breathing. I'm talking about being aware of the resistance and notice the resistance to insights. Scanning the body to potentially locate where the resistance is, where the contraction is. Learning how to surrender, calling in for assistance, maybe to hold their hand and help them through this portal, this bottleneck. And basically, I'm suggesting that it's not necessarily that the body is rejecting the medicine. It could be that the psyche is rejecting the medicine because it may not be in a state of receptivity. It may not be adequately conditioned and prepared to meet this level of awareness and this level of powerful healing. So there is almost like an unconscious inclination to run away from the medicine, an unconscious decision to avoid examining the deep trauma and pain. And this is for lack of proper support and safety. So they feel unsafe. They weren't adequately prepared. And indeed, the body shuts down. And of course, I just want to say a note on safety. You know, safety within the ceremonial space is so incredibly crucial to be able to have a deep and powerful experience in a way that is kind and not challenging. And when there are safety issues within the container, it could literally trigger safety issues from early childhood that have caused the individuals to dissociate in a way that is not unlike the ways that they have dissociated in the ceremony. So again, when there is a blackout or again, being knocked unconscious or something along those lines, we can literally see that as a dissociation from the medicine and from the insights that want to come out. And this can be prevented with adequate preparation support prior to the ceremony itself. Other ways to discover meaning in ceremonies is you want to look at any expectations that you may have had, as well as any disappointments. There is a very true statement about psychedelic work, and maybe this is just life's wisdom in general, is that we don't get what we want, we get what we need. And when we arrive to psychedelic ceremonies with any expectations, the truth is that we are bound to get disappointed. Because the medicines or the inner healing mechanism that comes out through psychedelic substances oftentimes exceeds our expectations. So if we arrive with a very limited perception of how we feel we need the ceremony to unfold, how we feel we need to have the healing take place, then we are virtually limiting ourselves because the medicines just have many other ways to provide this healing that we are seeking. Medicine wisdom is vastly more intelligent than our conscious daily operating mind will ever be. So as long as we come in with expectations, then there will be disappointments. So in the integration stage, when we're trying to understand why things happen the way they did, and maybe we wish things would have happened a certain way, it's normal to be disappointed and natural. However, just notice that disappointment and try to work around it and understand what about the experience was disappointing to you and look at the disappointment in itself as the insight. Is this some type of a personality pattern you may have? Do you generally feel disappointed or resentful about life, about what life throws at you? So this is another way to look at challenging trips where, again, you may be disappointed with the outcomes. Maybe you had envisioned and you had other intentions and the experience didn't meet you in this way. So I would look at the disappointment in itself as a very revealing insight. And in that sense, also any feelings or emotions in the moment where they welcomed, were you able to sit with the feelings without judgment, or potentially you resisted them? Maybe you blocked the experience. And again, this is true not just for during the ceremony, but post-ceremony as well, meaning when you are trying to understand what happened. Again, are you able to sit with any feelings that may be coming up for you, or are you blocking them or glossing over them? Also, resistance and fear. Again, fear is a very natural feeling. Were you able to go where the medicine wanted you to go? Or were you forced there? Were you able to surrender to your inner healing mechanism, which potentially wanted to lead you, again, to unexpected places? Or were you dragged kicking and screaming into this place? And resistance and fear are definitely, again, not uncommon traits, even for the most experienced psychonauts. And there are ways to work with resistance and fear as a navigation skill set. And on my website, psychsoul.com, you can find some great courses that can help you work specifically with resistance and fear and leveraging them towards navigating your psychedelic trip masterfully and effectively. And on the note of being forced to go into places in the journey, and typically this is when the word bad trip comes to mind, when again, things don't happen as planned, when the journey takes a different turn than you were hoping for, and things potentially feel darker. And again, sometimes we are literally being shoved and pushed into these places, or at least that's what it may feel like. So was your experience one of which you gave consent to the medicine? Did you give your consent to the medicine to take you there? Or was anything taken away from you without your agreement? Did you feel violated in your journey? Again, either by the medicine, by the inner healing intelligence, maybe by other people on the ceremony, maybe by the facilitator in the ceremony. Was there any type of experience where you didn't feel empowered and at the helm of your experience? Or was it a co-creative process where you felt like even when you were losing control, you were still in control of the experience? So the word consent is really powerful. And again, the idea of violation is another way to look at power dynamics and the way that they ensue in medicine space. And of course, when we sit with these insights, and potentially maybe you want to work on something like that with an integration coach or therapist, then you may find that the whole experience of, again, relinquishing of power or being stripped away from your power is a replication of a previous experience that you have had in your life where similarly it felt like your power was again being stripped away from you or you were violated. So basically, did you feel like you were empowered, quote unquote, to work? Of course, I'm going like this, right? Air quotes. Were you empowered to do your work or were you a victim in the ceremony? And of course, the power dynamics, not just with the medicine, but also with the shaman, with the facilitator, these are all natural parts of human relations and a natural part of any relational dynamic. If there was some type of a power exchange with the shaman or the medicine that felt unhealthy, again, I would examine that and it would typically be trauma related. I want to provide now some integration techniques that would help with theme extraction. So again, these are some tools that you can, or some practices that you can practice following your ceremony that would help you extract themes from your psychedelic journey. So the first tool is free association, what some people call the stream of consciousness. Immediately after the ceremony, what I like to do, instead of sitting down and just journaling very neatly about the experience and writing essays about what happened, I like to do it in a different way. I just sit with my notebook and I just brain dump anything that comes to mind after the ceremony. So again, just free association, absolutely anything. It doesn't even have to make sense. Of course, you can also, if you want, you can write words, you can scribble, you can jot things down, you can make caricatures, but basically you just brain dump any type of imagery or memory or feeling or absolutely anything, a narrative, a word that comes to your brain. And you do this immediately after the ceremony. And again, no writing stories quite yet. You can write descriptions maybe of what happens, but no attempting to understand what happened, no ascribing meaning of any sort. Just while it's still fresh, free associate. And then that really helps with reactivating the brain and taking you back to the medicine space. And when you give yourself the freedom to just, again, brain dump onto a piece of paper, then you will be quite amazed at how it activates the memory as well. And you will remember things that you potentially, you felt like you forgot, or you didn't even remember that happened. So this is a really great technique, the free association. And then when that is done, and when you feel recovered and you're ready to move through into a more active integration stage, I would read through what has been recorded, and then I would begin analyzing, right? So I would look at the words and I would begin to highlight commonalities. Maybe there are certain word groups. Maybe you notice that you used a lot of feelings, words, adjectives. Maybe there was a focus on visual content. Maybe there was use of a lot of I statements, meaning it was all about me. Maybe the focus was descriptions of situations or environments as if looking from the outside or witnessing. Maybe there was a description of what happened in relation to external events, like a lot of writing about other people in the ceremony or writing about the shaman or the music, etc. Maybe you can see from your words and again, from any of the recording, you can begin to articulate that there were cycles in the ceremony. For example, maybe there was a cluster of experiences that overall seemed to belong to maybe like family healing, right? And maybe there was another cycle in the ceremony where you felt very pulled to be active in the ceremony, like you were singing songs and maybe you were asked to assist someone else. Maybe there were parts in the ceremony where you felt more happy and free versus other parts where you were finding it very difficult, maybe on your hands and knees, nonstop purging. So even within the ceremony, there are cycles. So again, when you look over your brain purge, then you want to see if you can find any of these cycles. And also maybe you can articulate or you can sense that there was a difference in your presence quality. Were there times in the ceremony where you felt like really engaged with the medicine, you were in dialogue with the medicine, and maybe there were other times in the ceremony where the medicine was just kind of doing its thing and you were maybe kind of taking a back seat, maybe you were more resting while things were happening. What was your level of engagement and presence within that ceremony? So these are some ways to find themes. And then your next step would be to choose up to three themes and only three themes, but to be honest, focus just on one, maybe two max, and that's preferred because again, you really want to allow ample space to sit with the one or two themes. And so you can just really like sit with the juiciness of it and the richness of it. And so you could be in full attunement and attention to it. So choose one or two themes, ones that seem the most relevant and pressing for you to work on in the integration process. And if there are more than one or two themes, which very well could be, make a conscious decision to just put them to rest for the time being and knowing that you could always revisit them at another time when the time feels right. So this is a great integration technique for theme extraction out of any psychedelic journey.
Raise your hand if psychedelic medicines have changed your life. Raise both hands if you are a cisgender female that wants to serve in the psychedelic renaissance as an integration coach, a healer, or a psychedelic therapist, but has no idea where and how to begin. Soul Sister, welcome home to the Psyched Souls Integration Coaching Certification Program for Visionary Women, our best-selling six-month professional training and personal development program where you get to dive deep into your own integration practice way beyond meditation and journaling while getting certified as a high-caliber psychedelic integration coach and guide. In our iconic program, you do your work through an experiential, creativity-centered, and system-rebelling transformational vortex that is grounded in proven methods and expert-level technologies, preparing you to take root as a psychedelic leader in your community. You have full intention to participate in this revival, and we provide you with the know-how, with the tools, and with a full-body confidence to create it. So if you are a psychedelic-informed woman with a huge heart of service that is ready to get off the fence and unapologetically step out into the world offering psychedelic support, stop playing small sister, take a leap into your soul-aligned, paradigm-shifting service career in the psychedelic revival, and help spread more light consciousness in the world. Learn more and apply at psychedsoul.com/training.
Also, be mindful that whatever happens after the ceremony is part of the ceremony. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking or believing that as soon as they can get off their mat and walk around and they don't see any visuals or they're not hallucinating anymore, that they're back to quote-unquote normal default consciousness, then the ceremony is done. Well, I encourage you to remember that even physically and neurobiologically, on the neurochemical level, it takes at least a few days to return to a balanced state. So our brain typically is in a state of neuroplasticity for up to 2 weeks after the ceremony. So essentially, the medicine is still active within us, and the more that we create space after the ceremony to allow the medicine to continue percolating, then it is very likely that we will continue receiving insights. More insights will come to us, especially in our dreams. You may notice that you're having more dreams. Maybe even you're sleeping more. This is a very normal part of any psychedelic experience, is to maybe be drawn to have a little bit more space or more rest following a ceremony. And this is because, again, the psyche is not yet done processing. So you want to leave more space for the days after the ceremony. I like to take at least 3 days, sometimes even a week if I can. It's not easy, of course, when we have, you know, our human's life, when we have to take care of our human and do all the adulting things. But I mean, for me, this is really part of a healthy integration process, right? Is to understand that the ceremony is still happening. And I want to just not just give reverence to the experience, but really make the most out of it. So if the medicine still wants to talk to me, absolutely, I want to be there to hear it. So I will make more space for, again, for sleeping, resting, and dreaming. I will notice the symbolism in my dreams and my meditations. And then I will also become more aware of any synchronicities that are happening in my daily life. Because again, life is typically a mirroring of our internal reality. And I will be more aware and more alert of any characters that are in my life at that time, any conversations that I'm part of at that time, and any opportunities that come to me at that time. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is all part of the ceremony and part of the medicinal experience. And I will notice what reality is being manifested in my real life. Basically, how is the medicine continuously speaking with me even after the medicinal effects? Again, the visual hallucinations, the alterations of time and space, even though maybe that part of the ceremony is complete, I can still be aware that the ceremony is still happening, and I'm going to participate in it as if it is still happening. So I'm going to be extra alert to see what is happening in my daily ceremony. And finally, I want to share a few tips for the integration process, right? So number one, I always release any expectations to have visions as a means of getting insights, basically utilizing visions as my measurement to see if the psychedelic or the sacred medicine is working. We have to accept that the medicines speak and teach in a million different ways. We have to be open to the fact that the lessons will be delivered in the most surprising of methods. So allow yourself to be in awe, allow yourself to be curious, and just let things happen as they are. Remember to keep it slow. Remember to make space. Allow the maturation of insights. I actually highly recommend, as soon as, again, the active part of the ceremony is over, to not quite yet spill the beans or try to storytell what happened to anyone else. The medicine's wisdom, the energy is still unfolding in your psyche and your body. Your psyche is still in a state of activation. And it's still learning how to embody these insights, how to hold these new codes that have been activated within it in the ceremonial space. And anytime we open our mouths and try to put words to the experience, see it as kind of like a muddling down of the embodied and lived experience, because our words, again, our language is limited. Words are limited. And anytime we try to put words on an experience, we kind of solidify the experience and cement them within the limitations of that particular word. So just take it easy. There's no need to narrate anything. Again, you can do your brain dump, put everything on the paper so you don't forget. Or another way, by the way, to continue the flow and continue the activation of the medicine. One more thing that I like to do is voice play, right? So you can take a voice recorder if you want to record that. And of course, also you don't have to record it, but you can literally just allow your voice to express whatever it wants to express. And again, it doesn't have to be with words. It could literally just be an expression of any type of sound, any type of pitch, any type of cadence and pace, and allow the energy to be expressed in this way. And this will ensure that the energy is continuing to flow. And then remember that especially cryptic or confusing insights and themes, they will probably keep evolving and clarifying through subsequent ceremonies, right? So in your integration practice, in your active imagination practice, literally these things are, you know, they become, on the integration path, they become a part of our lives. And they become a ceremony. So give space and time for whatever seem, you know, again, insights that seem confusing or visions that make no sense. We don't have to understand them. We don't have to understand every single vision that we are shown. Some visions, by the way, they are literally just being shown to us for entertainment, literally for entertainment, while the medicine heals us in different ways. So release yourself from the need to understand every insight, to interpret every insight, to make meaning of every insight. And by the way, this is my answer from the question that I posed in the beginning of part one of this episode sequence. I started the first episode with, do we actually need to interpret every single insight in every psychedelic trip? And the answer is no. At least I see it as a no. I mean, we can. But do we need to? Is everything meant to be understood? Is everything meant to be integrated? The answer is no, it does not. So release yourself from the need or the preoccupation to have everything that you see have meaning, be interpreted, or be integrated. And just trust that a lot of insights that may be confusing now, they're actually just taking time to mature. They're maybe waiting for our timing to be right, maybe waiting for you to mature right along with them. And then they reveal themselves. And sometimes literally, you know, you can have a cryptic insight and have no idea why you saw what you saw. And then lo and behold, 3 years later, while you're driving on the highway, it hits you and you understand exactly why you saw that vision. And what it means to you at this time and how you can use it to change your life for the better. So having trust and faith in the journey is a huge part of it. Again, trusting in the great mystery as a baseline foundation, understanding that the great mystery is part of the journey and that we are learning to just be in surrender to that aspect of the human experience. And then finally, also just be aware of how our thoughts and words and actions create our reality. They say that the universe always communicates with us, but most of us are honestly too preoccupied to listen. And the beauty of integration, the beauty of the integration way, is that it is a mindfulness practice that creates space for us to be in dialogue with the unconscious outside of the ceremonial space. So in the here and now, in your daily life, no matter the action you take, you can choose to be in dialogue with your unconscious. And of course, you know, it takes practice and learning how to be in dialogue with it and learn to embrace it and learn to communicate with it, even when we have a million things happening day in and day out. But the more that you practice your integration methods, the more that it becomes second nature to you, and the more that the unconscious becomes a part of your life. And thus, every day of your life becomes a psychedelic, soul-revealing, soul-manifesting ceremony. So this concludes part two of how to interpret your psychedelic journeys. Of course, I have to say that this is just a portion of what I teach in the Psyched Soul Play Schools Integration Coaching Certification Program. We do have additional pro-level interventions that we teach in the school in regards to interpreting and making meaning of psychedelic trips. And those of you who are interested can head on over to my website at psychedsoul.com/training and get information about the next cohort. We'd love to have you a part of our program. You can also feel free to email us at support@psychedsoul.com and let me know how this episode has inspired you. You can also go ahead and leave us a great review to make not just this episode, but our podcast and the content that we are sharing to make them available to more people, to help them navigate and integrate psychedelic journeys safely and effectively. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, it's not the psychedelics, it's the integration. Cheers to you, psyched friend, for completing this episode of the Psyched Soul Podcast. Find today's show's notes and all relevant links, as well as a free gift for you on psychedsoul.com/podcast. And don't forget to join our exclusive Psyched Soul Tribe WhatsApp group through the link in our show notes. Go ahead and leave us a great review because it helps make the podcast visible to a lot more people. You can help us grow our tribe and create some epic magic in someone's life by downloading and sharing the episode with someone you care about. And remember, it's not the psychedelics, it's your integration.